involuntary in that sense. So if I have to give you example of transmission of shares, let's say death of the shareholder. Okay, so it transmits to the legal heir of the shareholder. So that is transmission. Now, in this parlance, let me give you an example. If I am gifting my share to my heir, my loved one, it is transfer. But once I die and my legal heirs apply, it will become transmission. Now, what is the distinction between transfer and transmission? The nature of act. As it said, it is voluntary and involuntary. Transfer is deliberate act. It is done. But in transmission, it occurs only by operation of law. Transfer requires execution of instrument of transfer. Okay. Whereas transmission requires only evidence. For example, in death, succession certificate is required. In transfer, there may be, or generally, if it's not gift, other than gift, transfer entails consideration. There will be a consideration with respect to transfer. But in transferation, there is no need for consideration. Okay. The stamp duty payable for execution of transfer is defined under the Stamp Act. Okay. But in transmission, no stamp duty is required. Company charges registration charges for registration of a transfer, for registering a transfer. But if it's a transmission, no such charges are applicable or leviable. In case of transfer, the liability of the transferor ceases as soon as the transfer is complete. Whereas in transmission, the shares continue to be subject to original liabilities. Okay. Now, this was with respect to transfer and transmission. Now, let us look at lien on shares. What is a lien? Lien is the right to retain possession of a thing until a claim is satisfied. Okay. In case of a company, lien of a share means what? That a member would not be permitted to transfer the share unless he pays his debt to the company. And so generally, the article provides that the company shall have a first lien of the shares of each member for the debts and liabilities of the company. Now, a company can enforce its lien on the share by sale of those shares in case of the member who defaults in payment of the amount due against him. In absence of express power of sale in the articles, the permission will have to be sought from the court. The company can't just go ahead and arbitrarily or on suo motu go ahead and sell the share. They have to either if it is not given in the articles, the power has to be given in the article. In absence of article, then one has to go to the court. But the power has to be given either by the articles or by the court. Surrender of shares. Now, the Companies Act does not provide for surrender of shares. Shares are said to be surrendered when they are voluntarily given up. Okay. Now, where do you find the articles? The articles of a company may authorize the directors to accept the surrender of shares. It is valid where it is done to relieve the company from going through formality of forfeiture of shares and the shareholder is willing to surrender. Okay. A surrender and a forfeiture are practically the same effect. The only difference here is that the surrender is done with assent of the shareholder, while the forfeiture is done at the instance of the company. Now, what are the forfeiture of shares? A company has no inherent power to forfeit. A company has an inherent lien on the share, but they do not have any inherent power to forfeit share. The power of forfeit must be contained in the articles. I will time and again repeat that articles is one of the most important documents because it gives the rights and liabilities of the company. Okay. Now, shareholders where they fail to pay the amount due on call, the directors if so authorized by the articles, forfeit the shares of such shareholder. Now, shares can only be forfeited for non-payment of calls. Okay. Any other attempt to forfeit shares is illegal. Where the shares are declared to be forfeited for the purpose of relieving a friend from liability, the forfeiture may be set aside. Now, purchase by a company of its share. the provision is under Section 77. Now, a company which is limited by share or limited by guarantee, having a share company cannot buy its share except when the share capital of a company is reduced in pursuance of Section 100 to 104, or where shares are to be purchased for prevention of operation and mismanagement under Section 407 of the Companies Act. Buying its own shares by a company will mean a permanent reduction of capital without the sanction of court, which is ultra vires of the Act. So a sanction of the court is necessary. Okay. Now, the Companies Act provides that a company limited by share or guarantee having a share capital cannot buy its own share. However, the Companies Amendment Act 1999, by Section 77, 77AA and 77B, and the guidelines that have been issued by the SEBI in this regard, allows company to purchase their own share or other securities which are subject to certain conditions when we say buyback of shares. Now, the provisions of the Amendment Act along with the related SEBI guidelines, what are they? Sources to buyback. Section 77A allows a company to buy its own share and other specified securities out of free reserves or the securities premium account. Okay, thus not only share premium money but debentures or other securities premium money can also be used, or the proceeds of any shares or specified securities. Now, conditions for buyback provides that no company shall purchase its own shares or other specified unless the buyback is authorized by its articles. A resolution to that effect is passed. The buyback is less than 10% of the total paid up capital and free reserves of the company purchasing its own shares or specified security. The ratio of the debt owned by the company is not more than twice of the capital and its free reserves after such buyback. So the debt also has to be balanced. Notice of meeting to pass special resolution. Now, the notice of meeting at which special resolution is proposed to be passed shall be accompanied by an explanatory statement. Every buyback is to be completed within 12 months from the date of passing the special resolution under Section 77A, subsection 2. Now, buyback would be from whom? The buyback under Section 1 may be from the existing security holder on a proportionate basis, or from the open market, or from the odd lots, or by purchasing the securities issued to employees of the company pursuant to scheme of stock option or sweat equity. Now, a declaration of solvency has to be filed with the registrar and SEBI, and this is a special resolution to buy back. Where a company has passed this resolution, it has to, before making the purchase, file with the registrar of companies and the SEBI a declaration of insolvency. The form is already prescribed by the Act. Physically destroy the security purchased. Where a company buybacks its own securities, it shall extinguish and physically destroy the securities so bought back within 7 days of the last of the completion of buyback. No further issue of the same kind of shares can be done. Okay, where a company completes a buyback of its shares and other specified securities, it shall not make a further issue of same kind of shares, including by way of rights or other specified, within a period of 24 months, that is 2 years. Okay, up to 2 years, no new issues can be created. The company will have to maintain a register of the security so bought. In that, they also have to mention the consideration paid for the securities bought back, the date of cancellation of the securities, the date of extinguishing and physically destroying when it was physical, and other such particulars. This they have to also file return with the ROC and SEBI after the completion of the buyback, and this has to be done within 30 days of completion of the buyback. Penalty for default. If a company makes a default in complying with the provisions of this section or any rules which is made thereunder, the company or any officer of the company who is in default shall be punishable with imprisonment. So please remember, it is a criminal liability, and SEBI generally, if there is a default, initiates criminal proceedings against the promoter or the directors concerned. Now, there are prohibitions of buyback in certain circumstances. Section 77B says that no company shall directly or indirectly purchase its own shares other than specified securities through any subsidiary company, through any investment company, and no company shall directly or indirectly purchase its own shares or any other specified securities in such company has not complied with provisions of Section 159, 207 and 211. Now, let us look at the employee stock option plan. Very important when you are a corporate employee or if you have a large-scale business. What is ESOP? Employee stock option plan or equity incentive plan, which is commonly and popularly known as ESOP, is an employee owner method that provides a company's workforce with an ownership interest in the company. So the employees are given the shares of the company. These are the most important tools to attract, encourage and retain employees. The option granted under the plan confers a right but not an obligation on the employee. Now, stock options are subject to vesting requiring continued service over a specified period of time. There is an agreement given for ESOP which has to be complied with. Okay, not everyone can just be issued with ESOP. It has to be a continued service over a period of time. Now, what are debentures? Debentures is an instrument which is issued by company acknowledging the debt. Okay, debenture is issued under the common seal by the company, though it is not compulsory. Debenture is one of a series. It is not uncommon to issue single debenture. Normally, debenture is issued involving a stipulated period of time after which repayment is made. Okay, irredeemable debenture also can be issued by a company. Normally, debenture creates a charge on the asset of the company and the debenture holder is treated as a creditor, and the debenture holder does not enjoy any normal voting right. Now, let us compare the debentures and shares. Shares constitutes to ownership of securities and ownership even to the company, whereas debenture represents creditorship securities. Okay, shareholders are owners of the company by holding shares in the company, and debenture holders are creditors of the company. Thereby, they do not become owner of the company. The return on the share is called dividend, and the return on the debenture is called interest. The dividend on the share is not prefixed. Okay, however, on the other hand, the interest on the share is fixed as per the terms of issue of the debentures. Now, shareholders, especially the equity, they may or may not get the dividend. Okay, dividend payment depends on the profitability position of the company, whether the dividends have been declared, which is again at the discretion of the company, okay, of the board of directors of the company. However, payment of interest on the debenture is mandatory. It's like loan. Okay, so whether there is profitability or not, the interest has to be paid. Equity shareholders, they do not receive the share amount back from the company during the life of the company, okay, unless they sell, there is a buyback, etc. But on the other hand, debenture amount will be returned to the debenture holder on expiry of the stipulated period for which the debenture has been issued. Now, we can look at this table. If you go ahead and look at this table, this will be more helpful. The basic differences can be categorized in terms of ownership, identity, the certainty of return, convertibility and control. In ownership, the share of a company provides ownership. However, debenture holders are creditors of the company, thus they do not become the owners. They provide loan to the company. In terms of identity, a person holding a share is known as shareholder, and the one who holds debenture is the debenture holder. The certainty of return of money is not there when you are a shareholder. However, in terms of debentures, the debenture holder receives the interest even if there is no profit. and receive the entire money as well. It could be in term in definite period of time as well. In terms of convertibility, shares cannot be converted into debentures. However, a debenture can be converted into share. In terms of control, a shareholder have the right to participate and vote in the company and indirectly manages the company in thus. Okay, because there is also an ownership. However, debenture holder does not possess any voting right and cannot participate in the working of the company or the meeting of the company. Now, listing of shares. A stock exchange does not deal in securities of all the companies. Please remember, it deals with only those securities that are listed and that can be bought and sold at the stock exchange. Now, for the purpose of the listing of securities, a company has to apply to the stock exchange. The stock exchange, what it does is, after receiving an application from the company, will decide whether to list the securities of the company or not. If the permission is granted by the company, by the stock exchange to the company to deal in the securities therein, then this company is included in the official trade list of the stock exchange. And this entire process is called the listing of securities. Now, membership of a company. A company is composed or is formed of its members, okay? Though it has its own distinct identity from its members, but it is generally composed of its members and shareholders, okay? The word shareholder is used in relation to a company having a share capital, and there can be no membership except through medium of shareholding. But member is wider scope, which may include and which may be used in relation to all types of companies. Now, section 255 of section 2, subsection 55 of the 2013 Act defines member in relation to company in these terms. Member in relation to a company means the subscriber to the memorandum of the company who shall be deemed to have agreed to become a member of the company and on its registration shall be entered as member in the register of members. Every other person who agrees in writing to become a member of the company and whose name is entered in the register of members of the company. Third, every person holding share of the company and whose name is entered as beneficial of owner in the records of depository. They are member of the company. What is eligibility for membership? Now, the general rule is that any member who is competent to contract may become a member. A contract to purchase share is like any other contract, and other contracting party must be competent to enter into a contract. For example, a minor cannot be a member because a minor under the Contract Act cannot enter into contract. Any contract with a minor is absolutely null and void. A company can become a member of another company because why? Because it has a distinct legal entity. It's a separate entity. So it can also become member of another company if so authorized. But again, the authorization has to be by articles which are subject to certain restrictions. A subsidiary company cannot, however, become member of its holding company. Partnership firm is not a person in the eyes of law, and that is the reason it cannot become a member of the company. As per the law of contract, a foreigner can enter into contract and therefore purchase of share in a company, and thus it is, but again, this entire, he a foreigner can become a member of the company thus, but when you are dealing with any foreign entity or foreigners, you have to comply with the rules and regulations and provisions of the FEMA, that is Foreign Exchange Management Act 1999. Okay, so foreigners can become, but permission of the Reserve Bank of India has to be obtained for this purpose. Fictitious person. Now, a person who takes the shares in the name of a fictitious person becomes liable as a member. Besides, such a person can be punished for impersonation under the section 38 of the 2013 Act. So you can't just create a fictitious identity and buy a companies. HUF can have shares in the name of its karta. HUF is Hindu in undivided family. Joint holders, the shares of a company may also be held jointly by two or more persons. Okay, in a public limited a public company, each joint shareholder is counted as a separate member. A bankrupt, that is an insolvent, can be a member of a company, although the beneficial interest of the share in the company will lie with the official receiver or assignee who is appointed. Okay, registered society can is competent to hold shares in the company in its own name. Now that we have seen who all can be a member, let us look at the termination, how it can be terminated or how a person ceases to be a member. Now, a person will cease to be a member of the company when his name is removed from the register of members. Now, it may take place in two ways. One, which is act of the party, and the second is operation of law. Now, act of a party involves what? It involves a voluntary act by a member, which will be again in accordance with the law that is prescribed. Whereas operation of law is involuntary act of the party. Expulsion of member. It cannot be denied that there are some members who, by creating various kinds of trouble by the management, try to wrest undue advantage for themselves. Can such members be expelled? Some have expressed that the view that the company cannot, by amending the articles of association, give itself power to expel a member. However, there are other authors who disagree, and according to them, if articles authorizes the directors to expel a member under certain circumstances, then such power may be exercised. But again, it has been to be bona fide and in the general interest of the company. Now, what are the rights and privileges of a member? A member has number of rights, okay, vis-a-vis company. These are conferred by the Companies Act or by the Articles and Memorandum of Association. The rights of the members can be grouped under three heads: statutory rights, documentary rights, and legal rights. What are statutory rights? These are rights conferred by the statute, that is the Companies Act 2013. Okay, it cannot be taken away by the Articles of Association or Memorandum. Now, what are documentary rights? Documentary rights are the ones which are conferred by the document, that is the Memorandum of Association and Articles of Association. And then the third is legal rights, which are generally conferred by the general law. Now, some of the important rights of a member can also be grouped into two categories. Okay, one is individual rights and the other is corporate membership rights. Individual rights are where the members enjoy certain rights in their individual capacity, and these rights are enforced in their own name. Okay, such rights cannot be taken away from the members unless they give consent. And corporate membership rights are when they can be exercised only by majority and not by single shareholder or minority shareholder. The shareholders in majority determine the policy of the company or exercise the control over the management of the company. Now, let us look at the liabilities, obligations, and duties of a member. Now, the liability of the members of a company would depend on the nature of the company. Company, whether it is with limited liability or unlimited liability. Every member of an unlimited company is liable in full for all the debts of the company contracted during the period of its membership. However, the ones which are limited by guarantee, there are now again the company's liabilities which are limited can be limited by guarantee or limited by its subscription. Now, the liability of the members of a company limited by guarantee is limited to the amount they undertook to contribute to the assets of the company in the event of winding up. Okay, and company which is limited by shares, in that case, it is liability which is limited by the amount of unpaid shares on the shares subscribed by him. Now, every company under Section 88A of the 2013 Act shall keep a register of its members, indicating separately of each class of equity and preference shares held by the member residing in or outside India. It is a mandate on the company. Okay, and under section 88 subsection 4 of a company, if so authorized by it article, the company can maintain a foreign register outside India containing the names and particulars of its members, index of members. Section 88 rule 6 of the read with the rule 6 of the company's management and administration rules 2014 requires that every company having more than 50 members maintain a register of members in an index form or a separate index on the names or of the members of the company. Annual returns. Section 159 requires every company having a share capital to file with the registrar every year a formal return called the annual return. Okay, now this annual return would contain the specified particulars related to the company. Okay, it has to be filed within 60 days from the date of holding of the annual general meeting. Now, where no annual general meeting is held in a particular year, then the annual return has to be filed within 60 days from the last date on which the meeting should have been held in accordance with the provision of the companies.